He says, do not love the world or anything in the world. A couple weeks back, we started this message on the things test. I'm giving you six questions to ask yourself to make sure that you do not love this world. Now, we looked at the first part a few weeks back, and I said we'd get to the second part, and we're finally getting to it, but let me review for a moment so that you'll know right where we're at. Question number one. Are things keeping you from salvation? When God says, do not love the world or anything in it, he's not talking about people. He's talking about the things of this world. He's talking about this world system. He says, do not love this world system, the things this world has to offer, the things that are in this world. In other words, our eyes should be somewhere else than the things this world can give us. Are things keeping you from salvation? We talked about a parable that Jesus gave. And he talked about the gospel, God's word, resting on hearts. And one of those hearts that had received the gospel was a heart that heard the word, heard the gospel, was excited about it. But the cares of this world choked God's word out. This person was so in love with this world, with the things of this world, that God's word was just choked out of their heart. I gave you the example of the rich young man who heard Jesus and came to Jesus and said, look, I want to be saved. I want to go to heaven. Jesus said, sell everything you have. Or at first he said, keep the commandments. He said, I've done these. Jesus said, sell all you have. Man didn't want to do that because he was so in love with what he had, what this world gave him, that those things mattered to him more than what God had to offer him. There's a Bible verse that says, what shall it profit you if you gain this whole world, yet you forfeit your soul? In other words, what shall it profit you if you can gain everything, if you had everything this world had to offer? You won every lottery that was ever imagined. You won every gambling thing that you can win. You had all the money you possibly could have. What would it profit you if you got all those things you ever wanted in this world, but you ended up in hell? What profit is there in that? Zacchaeus was a man who got his heart right with God and gave everything he had to God. Truly, he understood salvation. There was a second test I gave, and it was, are things keeping you from tithing? The word tithe in the Bible means a tenth. God says, and he did it before the law, and he did it during the law, and talked about it even after law, that we are to give in keeping with our income. He says, give a tenth of what you have, and surely if the Israelites gave a tenth, how much more should we? When it comes time to give at church, you say, oh man, it's offering time. Let me see what I have in my pocket. Or does God get your first? Does God get your best? Do you get paid and say, I can't wait to see what I could give to God this week? Can't wait to take what God has given me and take a portion of that and give that back to God. I can't wait to do that. Or does God get the leftovers? You know, one great way to find out where your heart is, and I'll talk more about this in a moment. One great way to find out where your heart is to find out where your money is. And so often people say, well, you know, churches, that's all they ever do is talk about money. You know what? Some churches, that is all they ever do. But it doesn't change the truth that there's a direct connection between our money, our heart, and God. And if God is not getting the first fruits of our money, then it tells us that our heart is not right with God. Are the things of this world keeping you from tithing? Have you bought so much of this world that you say to yourself, I don't have anything left to give to God? I don't think any Christian would ever admit, unless their heart was right or getting right, that they were materialistic, that they were in love with this world. I don't think any Christian would ever admit to that. If you find yourself in a position where you can't give because you've bought so much of this world, you have nothing left to give to God, then maybe it's time to admit to it. Third question I gave you, are things keeping you from God's house? The Israelites in the book of Haggai were so busy working on their own homes that they didn't have time for God's house. They're so busy working on their own homes, and they were farmers, so they were so busy working on their farms and their houses and, you know, putting up walls and digging ditches that they had no time to go and take care of God's house. People do it all the time. They say, I have to work. I don't have time to go to church. I had to work, so I'm too tired to go to church. I have too many things to do. I don't have time for God. Or as one person told me, I'll get involved with God once I'm retired because then I'll have more time for God. Isn't it interesting that God came and died on the cross for us, but then we turn around and tell God we don't have time for him? Question number four. Are things keeping you from building heavenly treasures? Turn with me in your Bible to Matthew chapter 6. Are things keeping you from heavenly treasures? Matthew chapter 6 is in the heart of the Sermon on the Mount, which is the greatest sermon ever given. It was given by Jesus. It is in Matthew 5, 6, and 7. And in the middle of that, Jesus begins to talk about where our heart is. And in verse 19 of Matthew 6, he says, do not store up treasures for yourself on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourself treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Where your money is, that's where your heart is. That thing which is important to you, that is where your heart is. Now, Jesus here is not speaking against saving money. He's not speaking against having an IRA or a 401k or, you know, saving towards retirement or having a piggy bank or a jar on your dresser. But he is talking about our focus. He is talking about us building up treasures and bounty and things on this earth so that our focus is on what we have here instead of what we're going to have there. We can ask it this way. What is the center of your life? What is the center of your life? If we were to open up your checkbook, what would it tell us about your life? Would it tell us that God is important to you, or would it tell us that something else is far more important to you? And I think there's a question we have to ask ourselves. How much is enough? You know, how much of this world is enough before we finally say we have enough? How many toys do we have to have? How many things do we have to have, you know, piling up in our garage or up in our attic or up in our, you know, one of the rooms of our house? How much of this world is enough? Before we finally take our focus off this world and we put it where it needs to belong, and that's our relationship with Christ. How much of this world is enough? What do you do with God's blessing? Yeah, it's a good way of looking at what we have. The person who has their heart set on the things of this world, they take the things that they have and they hoard them. They take the things that they have and they look at them as, you know, this is all mine. No one else can touch it. Yet God says that he gives us the blessings of the things of this world so that we can give them to others. 1 Timothy chapter 6, James chapter 5. It says the way we build up treasures in the world is to give away what we have here. Are the things of this world keeping your focus on living in this world? Or is your focus on your relationship with God and what will happen in eternity. Yeah, I like watching the DIY network, where, you know, they kind of build and work on your house and all those networks that are right near it, and they talk about things and they show people house hunting and show people with their first houses. And there's one called Renovation Realities, where everything they do in their house falls apart and, you know, they start fighting over what they're doing. But I sometimes watch people doing all these things, and you would think, and it probably is true for many of them, that they've bought into the American dream. That they've bought into the American dream, which basically says that if you have a house and if you have some really nice things, that's what life is all about. And it is not what life is all about. Are things keeping you from building heavenly treasures? Question number 5. Before I give it to you, let's turn our Bible to Psalm 37. Now, in your notes and in the outline up here, well, the verse isn't there, but the outline up here and in your notes, the verse is the wrong verse. So Psalm 37, and I want you to turn, well, let's just turn to Psalm 37, and I want to give you some background. Psalm 37 deals with what happens when evil people attack you and how you ought to respond to the attacks of evil people. And the whole, you know, issue of having to trust God to take care of us. And one of the areas that we need to trust God to take care of us is the area of finances. So in this attack of evil men, God begins to describe what they are like. Now, why don't you skip down with me to verse 21. Psalm 37, verse 21. Notice what it says about wicked people. The wicked borrow and do not repay, but the righteous give generously. Are things keeping you from financial responsibility? Is question 5. Are things keeping you from financial responsibility? Are you going into debt to get things you really can't afford? Credit cards can be used wisely, but credit cards can be used for worldliness. You know, buying things we can't afford before we really can afford them, if we ever could afford them. The mentality that says, I've got to have it now, and I can't wait until I save to be able to have enough money to get it. And then you watch on TV and they're telling people all the time the answer to all your problems financially is just to go to bankrupt. Let me ask you this morning, have you ever gone bankrupt? Don't answer. Have you ever gone bankrupt? And if you have, why? Now let me say, if you've gone bankrupt, bankruptcy in itself is not evil. You could lose your job. You could be self-employed and run out of jobs. There's all kinds of reasons why you may go bankrupt, and those reasons can have legitimate reasons why you may need to go bankrupt. But have you gone bankrupt because you've just spent too much money? You've just gone crazy with a credit card. You've just gone crazy wanting all the things in this world. And maybe you did go out of business, or maybe you did, you know, lose your job. And maybe part of the reason is because you didn't save for things like that, days for those days to come. See, the things in this world can keep us from financial responsibility. And notice what it says here in this verse. The wicked borrow and do not repay. In other words, the righteous don't borrow if they're not going to repay. In fact, the righteous not only repay, but the righteous give generously. You know, we're going through some really difficult financial times, where people are losing their homes, people are losing their cars, People are losing the things that they have, and some have worked really hard to get those things, and they're losing them. And this world, especially America, it's not especially America, it's the world. You know, you look over at Europe and Greece and Ireland and all these countries that are just, they're facing the end of their financial ability to do anything. And we're looking at America, where America is going bankrupt. Because America thinks they could keep spending and spending and spending and not somewhere stop spending. And we keep telling our government, don't stop spending because we want all our entitlements. We want you to just keep giving us money. And we do the very same thing in our own personal finances, and that's why we think it's okay for the government to do it. See, a righteous person handles their finances, is wise about how they deal with their finances, and they pay back. Not only pay back, they give away. What do the wicked do? They borrow, and then they don't give back, and they don't pay back, and they just take the money and run. Are the things of this world keeping you from financial responsibility? Buying houses so big that you knew you never could afford them. Buying cars that you really can't afford. Buying playthings that you never really should have bought because you really don't have the money. It's a different story. If you have the money, if you have the ability, it's fine. But you've got to spend within your means. And I find it interesting. I find people who are very rich or have money, and they're very careful how they spend their money. And I find people who are very poor and have very little money, and man, they just spend it like crazy. And what you find is you find focus. Some people just want the things this world has to offer. And therefore, they have no financial responsibility. Question number 6. Are things keeping you from your family? Turn with me to Colossians chapter 3. Are the things of this world keeping you from your family? Colossians chapter 3. I want us to notice what God says about the family, and here's probably one of the shortest, smallest places in the Bible where he talks about it. Colossians 3, verse 18. Wives, submit to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Fathers, do not embitter your children, and they will become discouraged. I have far too often seen husband and wives always at work and never at home. Always busy going after what this world has to offer, never spending time with one another, having no time for their children. Now, I think we live in a world that is pretty lazy. So let me say that so you kind of get balanced with what I'm about to say. I think most people need to work more than what they're really working. But for those of you who are not in that group, I think there are a number of people who just work too much because they want what this world has to offer. You know, Mom and Dad, do you both really have to work? Now, I'm not saying if mom and dad work, there's evil. There's a lot to talk about in that whole area. But mom and dad, do you really have to work, or are you working just so you can have a little more of what this world offers? Are you working so that you can have just a little bit bigger house or just maybe another car, just maybe fancier things? And what a shame we have done to our children that we teach our kids that our children have to have the same sneaks as the rich kid down the street. Or our child has to have the same kind of phone as the rich kid up the street. Remember what it was like when we used to have to really dial the phone? Or what it was like when there was only one car in the family and that car barely ran? Remember what it was like when people had a house that look nothing like many of the homes look today. I drive down the road now and I see, and there's nothing necessarily wrong with this, so understand what I'm saying, but I drive down the road now and I see 5-year-old kids walking down the street with a phone in their ear. We are living in a different world and things have changed, and there's some advantages to children having phones. And, you know, so I'm not saying if your child has a phone and they're 5 years old, I'm calling them the devil. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that mom and dad, there are reasons why we ought to work. And the reason we ought to work is so that we can live. Not just so we'd have more what this world offers. Not just so that we can teach our kids that what this world has to offer is far more important than our relationship with each other. Not so much that we can have, you know, rolls of quarters just holding down our pants or our purses, but we have no relationship with our children. Not just so that mom and dad hardly even know each other because they're so busy at work. Isn't it a shame that some people really do have to work so that mom is on first shift and dad is on second shift, or dad's on first shift, mom's on second shift, and they hardly even see each other? What a shame that some people get caught in that difficulty of marriage. Relationship is far more important than how much we have. I find so many guys, especially, and that changes too, but guys that work for a company and they see some of the benefits of being self-employed, so they say to themselves, I'm going to do that, I'm going to become self-employed, and then you find that they're working all kinds of crazy hours, and the next thing you know, they're in divorce court. Why? Because they began working so many hours that they forgot about the relationship or no longer had time for the relationship. We get caught up in this world and we forget that relationship is more important than what this world offers. We sacrifice our marriages and our children so we can have a little nicer car, a little nicer house. Children get stuck with babysitters all the time so we could just have more things. We want to live a lifestyle above what we really can afford, and we're willing to ruin our name to get it because sometimes we end up in bankruptcy. Here's the issue. As we look at life, are we in love with this world? Are we so in love with this world that we really just don't have time for the relationships that are far more important? Relationship of our spouse or our children or our friends, or even more importantly, our relationship with God. God says to us, do not love the world or anything in the world. If you love the world, the love of the Father is not in you. For everything in the world, the craving of sinful man, the lust of the eyes, the boasting of what he has and does, has not come from the Father, but from this world. The world and its desires pass away, but the man who does the will of God lives forever. How sad it is that we learn far too late that the things we thought this world would bring us really doesn't. And so many people reach old age and lost relationships along the way and realize that the things they chased after were not the things they should have chased after. Six questions. Do you love God? Or do the questions reveal a heart that really is in love with this world and what it offers? Let's pray. Father God, I pray, Lord, as we look at these questions, we will find that we are in love with you and not this world. Lord, help us to keep our heart where it needs to be. Help us, Lord, to keep our focus on what it should be. And I pray, Lord, that we will not seek to gain what this world has at the expense of our own soul. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.